get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Takes my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, oh, with only good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangements, makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide for life. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Takes my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music.
I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Kalorn strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye. In my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop.
Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome everyone to this, the kickoff of Authors Month here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I am your host, C. Maria Wall, a.k.a. the Mediator, the Shiro at your ground zero. And tonight, oh my goodness, you've heard me speak about it before. Divine timing, divine intervention. My special guest tonight is Dr. Susan Allison. And once again, our paths crossed many years ago, back in October of 2011. Susan had sent me her book, Empowered Healer. It is a bestseller. If you don't have it, look it up and get yourself a copy. But you'll hear about all of that later on tonight. But she's talking about her brand new book, Our Spirits Dance, this evening. Sit back, relax. You're going to be listening to her as she reads some excerpts from her book, and we engage in wonderful, positive healing discussion. So a little bit about Susan and her beautiful story of how this book was birthed. Susan Allison, you may know her, as I said, as the successful author of Conscious Divorce and Empowered Healer. Susan never believed in love at first sight until it happened to her. Then, on a full moon night in June of 1994, she met Thomas Hickelbottom, already the author of 5 books of poetry and eventually the award-winning novel Local Tribes and a History of Surfing in Santa Cruz, at a writer's group. They had tea afterwards. Then the magic began. Starstruck, they each went home, stayed up all night and wrote full moon poems to share at the next group meeting. Their poems had the same title and similar message. They continued to write love poems through 3 separations caused by fear over the intensity of their feelings. And they wrote poetry to celebrate their wedding at the summer solstice in Santa Cruz, California. They celebrated their love with 3 recommitment ceremonies and kept writing poems to each other during their blissful 17-year marriage as true soulmates. Susan even wrote poignant poetry about her husband's cancer and eventual death in August of 2013. In the darkest times, their love continued to light the way. Before Thomas's transition, he and Susan agreed they would tell their story through their love poems as an inspiration for others longing for the same kind of deep, enduring love. They wanted their poetry and their love to show that finding one's soulmate is possible. They wanted to model for readers how to live and love in a soulmated union by creating a dialogue with a poem of Thomas and one of Susan's, facing each other like love letters being exchanged. Read this book in order because their poetry tells the story of their love over 19 years. You know, the intro itself is so compelling and heartfelt that I am so looking forward to this, and you know, our lines crossed and things, so I will be looking forward to hearing the excerpts from her brand new book this evening, right along with you. Welcome to all of our guests in the call query and, of course, in the chat room, one of my favorite friends, my sister in the spirit, Tina Hobson. Thank you so much for being here, my sister. As always, love you to life and beyond. And with that said, welcome to all of our callers in the query. We will open up the lines a little later on if you have a question or a comment. But right now, we are about to delve into this wonderful, beautiful life. So with that said, Susan, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Finally, it's only been a couple of years, but everything happens when it's supposed to.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm just here just mesmerized, just listening to you. I just love your voice. So I'm just enjoying myself listening to you. And I was thinking, oh, I'm supposed to talk too. So I'm really happy to be on your show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. It's all I can say. Even me at my age, I'd love to meet my soulmate. And somehow, do you ever have that time when you feel that he is out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but where he is, I don't know if our paths will ever cross. I don't know. But it's a great thought right now. But
yes,
let's just go back just a little bit. I want to touch on how your journey began writing your books from day one. We're not going to spend too much time on that, but you've written so many great books.
Thank you.
Just want our listeners to get a feel for each one, what the inspiration was,
mm-hmm.
because if they get one, my suggestion to all of the viewers is to get all of them because
mm-hmm.
you're going to get something different from each one. And
yep.
when you contacted me about your new book,
yeah,
it's exactly what I do. My book is also real life issues put to poetry. And
mm-hmm.
I think that this is the beginning of bringing
yep.
poetry back to the forefront.
Yes,
and,
I agree with you. You know, it's interesting you brought this up about my earlier books because I know that your show is about healing through, you know, healing your hurt and through the pain
mm-hmm.
and coming to a point where you recover and you heal. And my first book was Conscious Divorce, and I was asked to write the book by a publisher because there were no books out there that were spiritual books about how to go through a separation and a divorce in a way that was amicable, that it wasn't you know, hateful. You tried
mm-hmm.
to do it consciously together, and especially when there are children. But it also came out of my own first marriage that was not physically abusive, but was abusive on other levels. And I wrote a book, in fact, a poetry book at that time called Breathing Room, The Leaving of a Marriage. And that book was a companion to the divorce book. And when I would do readings, I would read the poetry, and it would open people's hearts. And I think poetry opens people's hearts like music does, in a way that the nonfiction book, then they could take in the other, but first their heart was open from hearing the poems about my leaving my own marriage and the healing that I went through and the recovery that I experienced. So I agree with you that poetry has that effect.
Yes, it does. And, you know, so many people, and it's amazing to me because I have a lot of male followers, and I think that not only is it the way that we present the poetry, but it's the fact that it's coming from that real-life perspective that adds something where people, even though people don't understand some poetry or some styles of poetry, mm-hmm. when they can connect with the story itself,
right.
it makes all of the difference in the world, and then they will be welcoming and accepting of the words, no matter how they are, what style they're presented in.
Mm-hmm.
Each reader will get what he or she needs from that piece, and that's the beauty
yep.
of poetry.
Very true. I agree with you. My husband and I had different styles. I don't know if your listeners know Charles Bukowski and Gary Snyder and Robinson Jeffers. My husband and I both write a lot of nature poetry and haiku and also gut, you know, wrenching poetry.
Because mm-hmm.
My husband taught me to write from my gut and my heart, and to not, you know, he was not a fan of intellectual poetry. He really
right.
felt that he wanted to really reach in to his listeners or his readers and connect with them, really get them, you know, have them have this amazing response to his writing. And whether it's, you know, tears or, you know, your stomach is churning because it's such a powerful poem or whatever, he wanted to get a reaction from his readers and have them be able to relate in some way in terms of their own lives. And I feel like my poetry is that way as well, especially the later poems in the book about my husband's illness and then his death. They were gut-wrenching poems. It was a gut-wrenching time. And but he was a wonderful mentor for me in terms of getting me to be really authentic, really honest in my writing. So
mm-hmm.
I appreciate that so much from him.
And tonight, for all of our listeners, as I said, tonight we're going to be listening to Susan as she recites pieces from the book. And, of course, we'll have discussions afterwards. But the next few weeks, actually, we will be having people who are talking about the loss, and especially cancer.
Oh,
and,
interesting. Interesting.
Yes, yes. And one of my dear sisters, Sister Marcella Moore, her mom just passed away from cancer.
Oh.
She was her caregiver, and tonight
mm-hmm.
she's being taken out so that she can relax and take care of her.
Yes,
so,
that's
you
so
know,
important.
Yes, we need to do that. So tonight, you know, this is dedicated to my dear sister, Marcella Moore, and because she needs that. We all need that time when we have to take that back step, especially when it's so fresh. When the loss is fresh, and as
yes.
you know, you shared with me, tomorrow is the anniversary of your loss. And,
yeah, that's right.
You know, this is a great way for people to see, you know, life will continue. You will heal. It may take some time, but,
yes.
you know, the best way to do it is to talk about it, I think, and to share in this journey.
That's right. I really believe in writing down our feelings. And I feel like
mm-hmm.
when we're going through a really difficult time, going through loss, going through hurt, going through heartbreak, it really helps you know, I must have saved thousands of dollars in therapy bills by writing in journals. I had I have trunks of journals, and it helped me so much to get through.
Right.
And I also believe there's a creative release that can happen when you're going through such a heartbreaking, heart-opening experience. Because, for instance, you know, like Eric Clapton's song "Tears in Heaven." You know, his son, you know, fell out that window and died, his little son.
Right.
And he wrote that song out of his grief, out of his loss, out of his love for his son. And it's the most beautiful song that it's about, you know, that he has to keep living here. He, it's not his time to go to heaven, you know. And when we have had a loss, it's very, very hard. There have been times when I didn't want to be here. I'd much rather be with my husband. And I really got that song in a way that I never got it before. And I think that your listeners, if they're going through something difficult, it helps to write. It helps to speak about it. You know, it helps to release it somehow, whatever is their way.
Right. And I like I said, the next 2 weeks is about very much this right here. And like Sister Tina Hobson, she's in our chat room. She's in our show chat room. Mm-hmm. She has a group that specializes in vision boards. You know, that's another way that people can release and, tell their story. Because you know what, people, this is the main part of healing is to let it out, to talk about it.
That's right.
Not hold it in. Because two things happen when you hold it in. It tears up your inside. Number two, your story could save someone else. You could be that beacon of light for someone else. So, again, this is so important, and it is so crucial to the healing process. And
I agree.
We're going to keep moving along because the night belongs to you and your new book. We just talked about the conscious divorce a little bit. You can just touch on the empowered healer because we're moving along, ladies and gentlemen. And as I said, this is a process. This is why it's so important to invest in the series of books because, as you know, I bring on the best of the best and guests. And oh, that rhymed too. But
you're so clever.
you know, and oddly enough, a lot of my poetry it just ends up rhyming. So
you're probably a closet songwriter because I never ever rhymed my poetry, but I turned into a songwriter about 5 years ago. I have one CD out. I have another one I'm working on.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah. So, you know, what happens is sometimes if those lines come down, you know, I call it like a divine download, you know, that they just, the words just come in, the lyrics come in, the music comes in. So you might be a songwriter next. You never know.
Oh, wow. I'll have to look into that. I've never really thought about being a songwriter. And just so you know, we're already getting comments in our Facebook event chat room. Tina writes that Susan is speaking feelings that I am writing in my journal now for her new book. So, again, keep hold out, Sister Tina, because it's about to get very real in a few moments.
Oh gosh,
it's about to get really heartfelt in a few moments. And
Well, let me just briefly mention. You want me just to briefly mention Empowered Healer? They can get Empowered Healer in on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. Conscious Divorce. They can only get it used right now, and my agent wants me to rewrite it, and we'll see whether my energy is there or not. But they can get it used on Amazon, Conscious Divorce, if they're going through a divorce or someone in their family is, it would be helpful. Empowered Healer is alive and well. It's on Amazon and doing very well, and it's a book that came out of not just my husband's illness and a miracle that he had using my method, but it came out of just really working with all my clients. I'm a therapist here in Santa Cruz, California. And I I don't want to be anyone's healer. I don't
right.
want to be their shaman. I don't want to take the power from them. So my books are all about empowering you, that you are your own empowered healer. You know, you are your own guru, shaman, teacher, guide, healer. And I put everything that I know in terms of healing in that book to teach people to do it themselves, because I think in this country especially,
right.
we give our power away. We
exactly.
give it away to sports stars and famous people everywhere, and, oh, they're doing this diet, then I'm going to do it, or, you know, her hair is this color, then I'm going to do my hair that color, or,
right.
you know, this person's giving me advice about, you know, my love life, I'm going to do what they did. So we have a tendency in this country, I feel, to not only want to take a magic pill, we want it to be easy, we want it to be magic, but we also give our power away to people, even doctors, people that we see
mm-hmm.
as the experts. The experts on our bodies, the experts on
right.
our minds and spirits. And so the Empowered Healer book came out of really wanting to empower everyone to gain the confidence, power, and ability to heal themselves is the subtitle. So it was
right.
a passionate book that I wrote because I was tired of really people not trusting their own intuition and their own spirits and their own bodies to tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, to all of the listeners, let me be a wonderful testimony for what Susan just shared with you. Because for a while I was diagnosed with clinical depression. Back in the day, I believe they called it manic depression and, you know, worst case scenario
mm-hmm.
depression, whatever you want to call it. And I had a psychiatrist and a psychologist. I had both. And the one was, you know, you sit down and it's very, when you go to these types of sessions, most people think that there's some type of shame in getting mental health. But the psychiatrist,
mm-hmm.
no, the psychologist, let me get it right, not the doctor,
mm-hmm.
the other one, but she'd come in and she'd tell me, well, this is what you need to do. Get some index cards and write this down. So I pulled those out of my purse. You mean these? Well, you need to play soft music, Chopin, Bach, Yanni, whoever. I said, yeah, I have all of those CDs too. And I have the fountains and this and that. And finally, I just told her, I said, you know, you're not helping because you're telling me things that you learned in a textbook.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're sitting here like I'm supposed to take what you're saying and run with it. And I said, okay, this is what I've done. I gave her a list of everything that I've already done. Finally, she said, well, I can't help you. I said, well, I'll make sure to tell my insurance company not to pay you. We have to take back. <You know? laughs> That was the last time I saw her. But
yeah, I think that was smart of you. It was smart of you. I tell everyone to shop for their doctors, shop for your therapist, you know, interview
yes.
them on the phone. Don't just go to anybody. There has to be a connection. You have to really
correct.
Resonate with the person.
But, you know, this is about taking back your life, taking back your power.
Yes.
This is when you become the empowered healer, a true blue leader or someone that does what we do. We don't want, as Susan said, be your shaman. We don't want this. We want to help you discover the greatness in you.
Yep.
So that you can heal yourself. You become empowered for yourself. Because
yep.
we're not always going to be there for you to call in the middle of the night.
That's
you have
right.
to figure this out and learn how to become your own healer. And trust
I agree.
Me, it works. It works.
It does work.
It really does work.
Thank you for
it
sharing
does.
That. It's really true. He's passed on now, but there was a wonderful man in Hawaii who was a Hawaiian elder and shaman. His name was Makua, and he is the subject of a book called The Bowl of Light. And in it, the author says, this is what Makua said, "The age of the guru is done. The time of the inner teacher is here."
Yes.
And I do believe that we're growing up spiritually enough as a human species we're becoming more conscious, you know, we're becoming more evolved, and I believe that we need to trust our own inner wisdom more than we do, and I do believe we're getting there. We're coming out of a period that where we weren't doing that, but I feel that, that things are changing.
And that's a good thing. It really is.
Yes, it is.
But we're going to get to the real wonderful part of this evening, and it's all about your brand new book. And just take us back again. I know that I read a small part of it.
Yeah.
But paint that picture from your words. I could never present it the way that you would be able to. So paint that picture in your words for us. And to our listeners, sit back, relax. We are about to get into the meat and potatoes, as the elders used to say, of our show this evening. We're about to go deeply into this world of having a soulmate and what it feels like. So close your eyes. You all know how I do this. We're about to do our visualizations now. Sit back, relax, close your eyes, and I'm going to turn the mic over to Susan. She's going to paint this picture for us, and then we're going to hear some pieces from her new book.
So I think what I'll do is I'm going to start, the book is chronological, and I'm going to start the first night we met, and I'd love to read some of the poems. And this is the poem, one of the poems my husband wrote the first night we met. He told me later that he left the writer's group, we'd had tea, and he went home, and we live by the ocean, and he just went down by the ocean and then wrote this poem, and he was up all night. And so this is what he wrote. It's called Moon in Cancer. Full moon in Cancer blasts through clear sky. On granite boulders I ponder shimmering swells, lapping cool, silent beach. Sand crabs burrow into wet sand, waves lapping thin membrane shells. Gulls, seals, otters, unable to sleep, groan and chant in the humming glow. Tide pulls back to the outer ocean, exposing starfish on kelp-glazed reefs. Closing my eyes, celestial rays shine deep within, where now I wade in crystal pools, merge with you, Spirit sister.
Wow.
Yes, that was the first night we met. And I went home and was living in the mountains and was barefoot walking in green grass in the pasture. Imagine it's near the summer solstice. There's a full moon. It's very warm out. And I'm walking in a pasture barefooted, and this is what I wrote. I wrote the same title, Moon in Cancer, because astrologically my moon is in Cancer, and so that's a double meaning there that most readers wouldn't know. Full moon in Cancer illumines my path, walking barefoot through green clover. Warm wind ruffles my hair, lifts my black silk skirt. A stream of white milk pours onto apple trees, brightens purple grapes, turns red roses pink, jasmine iridescent. White magnolia blossoms unfold, petal by skin soft petal, open fully to moonbeams. Stars fall in the silence. My breath quickens, reliving this evening. Your brown hands reaching for mine across white teacups, remembering our eyes meeting, our hearts knowing everything.
Wow. And it's so amazing because I don't know about our listeners, but I was speaking in the show chat room. We're having a conversation there, and I said, oh, my gosh, we're back at the water, because I do this thing where people close their eyes and I set up where we're going so they can visualize it. And
yes.
Tina's writing. She says, the water is so peaceful. And, you know, I could feel the grass in between my toes and things
good.
Like that.
Good.
You know, that's what we're doing. And Tina writes, yeah, she can feel it too. So this is what, you know,
good.
This is all about, people. And I hope that you all are enjoying this. If you'd like to chime in our Facebook chat room, we have several chat rooms going, in our show chat room, or, of course, you can press the number 1 on your phone, and I will bring you online at any given time during our time together. But, you know, we welcome you to become a part of this healing session, because it's not just the chat. It's about healing. It's about the positive. And sometimes, you know, I say, join Susan and I for a night of positive. And, you know, some
yes.
people say, positive what? And I'm like, whatever it is you need to be positive.
That's right. That's right.
You know, finish it any way you need, because my positive may not be someone else's positive. So
that's right.
As long as it's positive, that's all that matters.
That's
so,
right.
Again, we have a caller, 1-841, last four of your phone number, 1-841. Welcome to our show. You're on the air with my special guest, Susan Allison, tonight. How are you, caller? Caller? 1-841, are you with us?
Yes, thank you, Maria. This is Shambri.
Hi.
Hi.
How
and
are you?
I am great. I'm great. I'm so glad I tuned in. I've been listening with great interest. And it's really been a great session. This is my first time tuning in to your I think it's called, session. And
Healing Through Hurt, yeah.
Healing Through Hurt, yes. It was
yes.
really interesting. And it's amazing. It's a lot of what I needed to hear, having lost my mom a year ago, and it's coming up on the first anniversary of her death. And I'm not sure if I've really let that go, if I've really grieved. I thought by going on with my life, I was honoring her. But recently I had an experience, and I feel like I just kept that pain or still holding that pain of losing her inside. And so as I was listening to you guys talk about journaling and how you need to let it go and get it out, I said, well, maybe that's what I'll start doing, start a journal, just a journal.
Mm-hmm.
My feelings about losing my mom.
Yep, good idea.
So thank you so much for inviting me to tune in, and I'm really glad that I did. And Dr. Allison, is it a very interesting story?
You know, I wanted to mention something to you while you're on the line here, is that I am still in contact with my husband, and I really believe that we can increase our connection with those who have passed on, who have transitioned, you know, and one way, like you said, you're going to start journaling. One way is to just do what I call automatic writing, and you write down a question or, you know, Mom, how are you? How are things? You know, how are you doing? And then you just write whatever answer comes. It won't, you know, she won't speak with her mouth, but you will hear the answer in your mind. And you just keep writing. You keep writing things. I did this when my father died. I did this automatic writing, and I got answers, and I found out how he was doing. You can also, like, look at pictures, look at if you have old letters, really tune into her energy. And then
pictures and birthday cards
yep.
that she sent me that I've saved. And I even bought a plant. The day after she passed, a green plant, and it's just been flourishing, and I look at it often, and sometimes I'll speak to her, you know,
yes.
look at the plant, and I'm talking to her and telling her how much I miss her. And so I'm just really grateful for this opportunity to hear, because I was thinking maybe I need to go into therapy, deal with this, but hearing you speak tonight, I realize there's other ways I can deal with this without going to therapy. Not saying that therapy is bad. I don't think therapy is bad.
No, it's not.
Right.
No, you
yeah,
can do it all.
Yeah,
you can do it all. If you need, I think therapy is wonderful. I mean, I am a therapist. I think I help a lot of people. And I think mm-hmm. that, you know, you can start with the journaling. You can start with talking to her during the day. It's like the other day I was looking at the peaches on our tree, and I said, oh, honey, I wish you were here to see this tree this year. And I heard a voice in my head say, his voice, say, I am. I'm right here. Are you going to make jam this year?
Wow. Amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely. Yes, amazing. So I just want to thank you guys for sharing and for this opportunity for me to share. At first, I wasn't going to say anything, but I said I want to move from just not speaking up and just start to speak up about what I'm feeling when the opportunity presents itself. So
good.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Great. Good job.
Great. And may I add this, is that you brought up that you had a plant, and a few years ago my grandmother passed, and then her sister passed, and I had taken one of the plants that they had left at the funeral home, and I said, I'd like this plant. And it was it had a pot, but it had like five different plants in it.
Uh-huh.
And each one of the plants, I gave a name. It was my Aunt Ellen. It was my Aunt Bessie. It was my grandma. It was my Aunt Edna. You know, and it was my great-grandmother, Lucy. So it was five plants, and it was the five matriarchs of the family. And each plant has its own life. You know, I have one of the plants. It's like a vining plant. That's my Aunt Ellen, because she was a real pistol. You know, I had one that stood tall and proud. You know, tall and proud. That's my grandmama, and, you know, that's my great-grand. And each one of the plants has something, and it's right here today, and it's still thriving. And when I'm down, and I'll say, you know what, I'll go and I'll talk to the matriarchs. And I may not hear a physical voice, but I feel them talking to me in my soul. So you can hear the response anywhere. You can hear it anywhere.
Yes. And 2 months after my mother passed, we lost our brother, and I have a plant I had bought him, and he gave it to me to take home because he wasn't sure where he was going to be. I was getting ready to go out of town, and he wasn't sure where he'd be when I got back. So he said, take the plant home, sis. So I have his plant, and it's in another room, and that's flourishing also. So I just want to really thank you guys for sharing and presenting to me another way to deal with my grief and really kind of still experience, you know, communicating with my mom, because I've kind of resisted that, you know. I know I hear where you can, you know, do that, but I've kind of resisted that, you know. I've tried to hold to my belief that, you know, I know she was saved, so, you know, she's resting in the bosom of Jesus, and that's what I believe, and I'm honoring her by being strong and going on with my life. But some feelings come up every now and then, and I started questioning if I'm really grieved, and so I'm glad for this opportunity to release it and let it go, because I feel like I do need to do that.
Good.
And for my brother as well.
Yes. You know, one thing about grief, it's not linear. It's not like we start at square A and we go to Z in this very nice straight line. Grief is, it's like hills and valleys. You're up, you're down, up and down. A song can come on, someone can say something. We get, you know, we see something, like we find an old photo, you know, and we could start crying again. And it's just, it's not linear. It's like, it's very, very personal to each individual, how long it takes you to grieve. So don't ever let anyone say, are you still crying over this or that? Everybody goes at their own pace, and grief, you know, it just takes the time it takes with each person.
I see.
Right.
I'm certainly going to pick up your book, Empower Healer. And
good.
Yes, I'm definitely going to get Saffron, and I'll look for some of the other ones. I don't remember all the names of the ones you mentioned.
The new one is Our Spirits Dance, Poetry of Soulmates. It just went up on Amazon like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'll be posting all of this as well, and you'll be able to hear before the show ends how you can, you know, get all of the books and, you know, contact Susan for any reason at all. And just to touch on what you all were saying about mm-hmm. the whole grieving process.
Yes.
It's, you know, to me, I've always said, even when I was a child and I didn't quite know how to articulate it, because my great-grandmother, Lucy, she used to say that I had an old soul and I had mm-hmm. been here before, because uh-huh. I don't look at life like so many people do. I've always mm-hmm. looked at life in a different way, because death is just another part of living.
That's right.
And uh-huh. it's a different phase. And
that's
to
right.
me, people are never gone until you just forget them and you block them out of your mind, and you somehow mm-hmm. or something happens where you lose your memory. They're never really gone. And
that's
to
right.
me, we're nothing but energy. So
that's how
I leave.
You know, you just transition over to, you know,
exactly.
life in this exactly.
life in the
spirit,
they're still here.
You know?
Yeah,
you know, their energy
yeah.
is still here. And
that's
I always
right.
use this analogy. If you notice that when people are living in homes, they're wonderful and they're beautiful, and the minute that everyone moves out and that home is left to stand, when that life force leaves it, you notice how they start to deteriorate and fall apart? It's because
yes,
the life
yes.
forces
well,
are
you know,
gone.
Well, my mother had Alzheimer's, so I'm really glad she's not suffering anymore.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
She didn't know us. She had not known us for a long time. So I was just glad her journey on earth ended. And, you know, I feel like her work here was done. She
mm-hmm.
had 12 children. She birthed 12 children.
Wow.
And she worked hard all her life, two jobs. And she poured, and her children was her life. She didn't seek
mm-hmm.
fortune or fame or fancy things. It was her home and her children is what brought her the greatest joys. And
mm-hmm.
She poured a lot into us. So, you know,
wonderful.
And she'll
yeah.
live on. She'll live on forever through us, through her children. I'm
that's
the only
right.
one addicted to her grandchildren, but she'll live on through her children and her grandchildren. She left
right.
an awesome legacy, an awesome
that's right.
legacy.
That's right. You know, and in that way, she's immortal. And
yeah,
I
right.
believe
yeah.
I believe we're all immortal. That
yeah.
Not only is your mom immortal, that she's now, you know, living on in spirit, but
uh-huh.
she's immortal because she's in all of your hearts.
Yes,
and
yes.
you carry her forever. And
yes.
she's, you know, it's, would it be okay for me to read a poem right now?
Yes. Oh, please.
Because
yes.
it's called Immortal, and this is a vision that I had, a waking dream. I have visions of my husband 2 days before he died, and just the message that I got, and I had no idea he was going to die in 2 days, but I had this vision, and this is called, the poem's called Immortal. In a vision I see you days before your death, in a tree of light and golden fruit, smooth-skinned with brown hair, curling to muscled shoulders. You swing to the ground, pick a bright globe, feed me a bite, then eat the rest, pulp and juice on lips and chins. Sticky with sweetness, we laugh and kiss. Pear-shaped with a mango seed, the Chinese and Hindus say these fruits bring love, abundance, immortality. You, always the way-shower, divine teacher, gave me a taste of infinity. Help me understand there is no death. The soul and love, limitless, timeless, endless, our spirits joined for eternity. Now, your body may be ash, but our spirits meet in heaven, where we walk a white sand beach hand in hand, making tantric love and spiraling together in a swirling, pulsing wave of amber light. We are immortal.
And that's true. Oh, my gosh, that is just so true. And we are. And I think that, you know, so many people need to realize this. And so many,
yep.
you know,
awesome.
A lot of people
that
just
is
feel
awesome. Awesome.
What society has taught them. You know, we live, we die, we go in the ground, we're done with it. No, it's more to
mm-hmm.
it than that. There's a
no.
reason why things happen. There's a reason why. And Shambert, I don't know if you were on when we first came on, and I said that actually Susan and I, our paths had crossed back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was on from the beginning. Yes.
2011.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're here. We're here and you're here. Because guess what? That's how it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is when we were supposed to come together. Right here, right now, tonight, this was when our time was supposed to come to fruition. And we're here. And just listening to you talk, Chambry, in this short time, when you first started to talk, you were more down. You were more subdued. And then when you started to talk about She'll Live On and you and the grandchildren and everyone, you were more upbeat.
That's
so in that
right.
short amount of time, I noticed that change.
Yes.
And that is exactly what this is about. We were meant to be here together tonight, right here, right now, doing this. And I'm so thank you.
I heard you guys talk, and I realized it was meant for me to tune into this show tonight. It was meant for me to hear this. It really was. And I'm so glad I follow my instinct and tune in, because I looked on Facebook early and I saw, you know, you had invited me to attend this show. And I looked, I said, oh, I can do that. I don't have anything planned for tonight. So I made a mental note. I wrote down the number, and I remained conscious of the time so I wouldn't forget and then miss the time. So I'm really, like you said, it was meant for me to hear this, to be a part of this healing process.
Good.
So thank you both.
You're welcome.
Oh, my goodness. Well, high five. A job well done.
Absolutely.
But, oh, my gosh, Susan, if you have any more pieces, we're still here listening. Chambry, sit back, relax, close your eyes.
Okay,
enjoy the rest of the discussion. And if you'd like to chime in again, feel free. I'll leave your line open for a while. And Susan, I'm turning it back over to you because, as you can see, this is the beauty. And Chambry, just so you know, whenever you listen to this show, this is not a script. We're just talking. In whatever way that we are led, that is how the show goes. This is nothing is scripted here. So all of this is happening in a natural form. So
okay, I realize that.
That's the beauty of it all.
She has no script. She's just talking. Okay.
Yep. Yep. You know,
awesome.
You know, C-Marie, you said earlier that we were talking a bit about soulmates when you introduced me.
Mm-hmm.
And I get more questions than any about, you know, how do I meet my soulmate? You know, will I meet my soulmate? You know, I haven't found my soulmate yet, et cetera. And I just want to say that you first fall in love. This is what I say in the preface, but you fall in love with yourself. And you become, you know, you love your own soul, and you're doing what you love, what you have passion for, like you're doing your radio show. You really feel like you're fulfilling your purpose, your soul's purpose here, and you feel happy and full of joy, and you feel passion for what you're doing. And then you just go about your life. You know, it's like I went to a writing group because I was thrilled about writing and I wanted to share my poetry and write with other people. And I was just so excited. I was like about a 10-year-old when I went to the group. And my husband described me later, I was like a flower opening. I was like this flower. I was like full of life. I was excited. And that is when the person walks in, is when we have worked on ourselves, we are healing or healed, we are loving who we are and what we're doing with our life, and then we just are showing up places, and guess what? That's when he walked through the door I wasn't looking for anyone. I was just really fulfilling what it was that made me happy, and I was full of life. And bam, and that's when it happens, and that's what my clients tell me. That's when it happens to them, that they meet this person that is their twin, you know, is another light, that they see your light and you see their light. And to me, that's how it happens. So any of your listeners who were wondering that is what I think is the answer. It's not find, it's not running out and trying to find someone, because a lot of times that's done out of fear.
Right.
You know, that you're frantically out there trying to find the one when you're not in a place where perhaps you already feel whole. You know, I like to say that you're the cake, and then you meet someone and they're the frosting. You know, they enhance you, but you're already the cake, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So I wanted to just mention that. Because
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
Yes.
That, you know, you,
yes,
you love yourself first, and you find out what it is that you're meant to do here. And then you just go about doing it, and oftentimes then someone is there. They walk right in. And you also can conspire, you know, the universe conspires to help us once we ask for help and once we put out there who we are and what we want. I totally believe in the law of attraction. I really believe that it happens, that we partner. You partner with God or the universe or spirit or whatever you call that source. And then it happens when you're in partnership with the divine or with the universe. It happens. So I wanted to just mention that.
Yes. Yes. We're all connected in a way that people, you don't hear a lot about it, but we really are. We I don't even know how to describe it, but once you get that awakening,
yep,
I guess you could call it, and you feel, and you can see it. You know, one of my books of photography that I did was, it was called Silent Beauty. Most of my books have the word silent in it. But Silent Beauty, where my photography is of the things that most people don't even notice around them every single day. You know, I have pictures of little tiny itty-bitty worms. I got so close and macroed them where you could see their little eyeballs and their little mouths. And they were no bigger than, you know, part of a pin. But people don't notice these types of things. And it's all because we're all connected in one way or another. That circle of life is just a fascinating thing. And for us to believe that what we're doing right here now is all that there is to it, no. There's a reason why we could walk into a building we've never been in this lifetime and know every single inch of it. There's a reason for that.
That's right.
There's a reason when you can feel things, when you know that something bad is coming, and you can feel it, but you don't know what, but you know something is coming. There's a reason for all of this. And until we open up our eyes and our souls and our minds to realize this, so many of us live a lost life. So we are connected. We are energy, and we are everywhere. You
That's
can go
right.
to sleep at night and, you know, wake up and think that you've been to some faraway country, and then you see a commercial, and darn if it wasn't the same thing that you had a dream about.
That's
because
right.
we're energy.
I agree.
And once we learn how to channel that and make it work for our well-being, it then emits to others, because the positive is very contagious.
Yes.
It is. It is. It is.
It is.
Once you tap into that positive source of energy and light, it is amazing. It will take you far. It will take you far. It will bring you into contact with so much that's so awesome and so amazing.
Yes.
You know what you were saying about energy, that everything's energy. I'm also an energy healer, and I am a Reiki master, and also I do reconnective healing that Dr. Eric Pearl founded. And I really believe, you know, people who are scientific who are listening to the show, all they have to do is study quantum physics, you know, that everything is energy. Every single, you know, thing on the planet, rocks have energy, have atoms.
Right.
And we're all connected in this energy vortex of life. And also what, you know, you were saying in terms of, you know, people saying that you're an old soul, and what we were talking about in terms of, you know, your mom living on and her energy continuing and her spirit. And I have a couple poems about that I believe that, you know, I do believe that we have had past lives, and that we can, you know, someone, it's like you said, that building is familiar. people are familiar. I swear in the last few years I'm meeting all these people in my soul family. There are all these people, I think, who are back, you know, and I'm connecting to them. There's a woman in New York that was on my radio show, and she and I are like sisters now, you know, and I feel like that happens. And that's what my husband and I felt. We both felt it. There was this familiarity, this energy, and the good news is that we didn't ignore it. You know, we really it was so intense that, you know, I ran away a few times, but he was really strong and had faith and kept me, you know, really like coming back and realizing we could do this, and it was not going to destroy me. It wasn't going to, you know, I wasn't going to lose my identity and my individuality by merging with him and having this energy connected with another person. And so he wrote this poem called Eagle Moon, and this is what it says. Last full moon, we looked into each other's eyes and found the open universe. We traveled beyond time and space into a spinning vortex of mystical light. I dove inside your crystal pools, staring into my own reflection, while you found yourself deep within me. Now a bright orange moon stares at us over the glassy surface of the tranquil sea. In this one moon cycle, we have melded our souls and now fly on angel wings into the bright night sky. Each in the same breath, hearts chanting in unison, spirits united. Eagles soaring above the low-lying mist which enveloped our former selves. Yep, Eagle Moon.
Yeah.
And then across the page is the one I wrote that's, it's like, they're like love letters across the page. This one that I wrote is called Familiar.
Mm-hmm.
We were a million years of selves. Not yet bodies of bones or breath stolen by kisses, but life after life, the wind carried our seed just past each other, two heartbeats on a scratchy breeze, not yet a gaze or hands held, but souls passing through stars, brushing one another. And now our touch feels ancient, yet known for the first time, familiar hands on waiting skin.
Wow. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Wow. You're really deep.
Thank you.
It's really awesome. I mean, it's just, wow. You really have to be in tune with your spiritual self to get some of this.
Yeah, that's the first step, you know, is that, you know, I've been a spiritual seeker all my life, and even as a child, I was, you know, as a child, I really saw angels. I used to play in a big pepper tree, and I had a tree fort that I built, and angels came to me, and I ran in the house and said, "Mom, Mama, I flew with angels over our house." And my mom just sort of patted me on the head and said something like, "That's nice, dear." but she didn't believe me at all, but she thought it was kind of cute. But I really did, and I really did fly with them. And I years later, as an adult, I did a rebirthing workshop where she put us into trance and she had us go back to before our births. And guess what? Those angels were there, and were it was my life between lives, and they were telling me I needed to come back here, and I said, "No, I don't want to." And they said, "You're going to have a phenomenal mother. You're going to have this amazing mother who's just such a beautiful soul, and it's going to be incredible." And they talked me into it, and I came back here, and guess what? I then had the memory of my childhood when I met with the same four angels in my pepper tree.
Wow, that's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, some people may think that this is the strangest thing, but I understand because I experienced it too. And, you know, in my family, you know, I was invisible, so it wasn't too many people that I could talk to about anything but my great-grandmother. And she understood very well what I would say when I would talk at all, because I was pretty silent as a younger child. But she knew, and then I was very sickly. So she knew exactly what I meant when I would tell her what I saw, what I felt, what I did. She understood that. And like I said, when you have that awakening, you see life in a different way. Things that bothered you last week won't bother you this
week.
That's
true. That's true. That's very true. And
yeah.
I think I've been a spiritual seeker most of my life. I've searched. I used to search the scriptures and you know, wanted to be close to God, know more about God, to understand things. I think in the last couple of years, just really have grown in leaps and bounds on a spiritual level. So I'm thankful. I'm really thankful.
Wonderful.
Then, you know, in college I took religious philosophy, which was one of the best classes I could have ever taken because, you know, it opens up your mind to so many different viewpoints. When you have a classroom full of people from all social economic groups and all ethnicities and everything, I love the fact that some people believe what they believe and it was right and it was just the way it was. But when you can accept the universe and find out that just because you say that it happened this way and someone else says that it happened that way and I say it happened my way, in the end, it happened. And the minute that we realize that people, no matter what our viewpoint is on the beginning, it still happened. And if we can move past that and embrace the knowledge and embrace the differences, then we start to realize just how much we're really the same as opposed to being different. And I don't know if I articulated that very well, but what I'm saying is so many people, when you look at things and your mind is closed, you're really strangling your own awakening, your own destiny, your own enlightenment. You're strangling it because you have to be receptive. When we learn how to run outside right now, you know, it's a beautiful night, run outside and throw your arms open and say, I embrace it. I embrace all of it. You'd be surprised how things will start to change. You will be surprised how things will start to change. And one thing I believe that Susan had said earlier is the fact that so many of my guests who share time on this show or in one of my coaching groups or I met through having a worldwide art contest, a healing through art contest I did years ago, one of my friends now, her name is Gina, on my Facebook group, I met her in one of my other groups, one of my photography groups, and she had entered into one of my contests, one of my worldwide contests. We became friends, and there are so many people, you know, and like Susan said when we first started, she likes to hear my voice. So many people say that my voice tends to calm them down.
Yes, it does.
I said, okay, you know, but again, I'm the person who has it, and I'm doing what I love to do, what I'm compelled to do. So to me, it's just my voice. But to the listeners of the world, it's their calming place. It's that voice that saves them from cutting their wrists. It's that voice that brings them back from the brink.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we each possess something, and in listening to Susan talk, I'm like, okay, now I understand why now it's our time. I understand why I didn't forget her from, what, 4 or 5 years ago. I understand all of that. It wasn't meant for me to understand then, but I understand tonight because it's like, oh, wow, okay, cool. You know, we're connected.
Here's another sister for me.
Yeah, you know, and that's how it works. And
exactly.
And the sisterhood, I call her sister in the spirits. I see Sister Tina Hobson, she's been booted off a couple of times, and she's back on now. And she's, you know, again, she's my sister in the spirit.
you know, we're just like any other sisters. We agree to disagree, but we love each other unconditionally. And it's the same thing. You know, I may say, hey, Susan, what's going on? You know, you may hear from me a year from now and say, hey, yep. you know, but we have so many people. Brenda Harsh, she's on. She was a guest years ago when this first started. She does something called hug wraps. She makes these garments for people who are getting cancer treatment because, you know, they get cold and things. She makes hug wraps. People Magazine just did a report on her in one of their last issues. And tomorrow, I believe she just announced at 9:30 a.m. here on the East Coast. Anyway, she's going to be on the Today Show. Or for Sunday morning, talking about her program. And she hand makes these items, these wraps, for people who are in cancer treatment. She's a beautiful soul. We remain friends after all those years. It begins with something as simple as some broken down woman who was abused, who decided to take that leap of faith and start a talk show.
Fantastic.
It's a little thing.
I'm really glad I tuned in tonight, Maria. And you know, we met several years ago.
Yes.
But it was our time, I guess, to connect on this level tonight.
Yes.
It really was.
Yes. It's little things that when you sit back, and tonight, and I guarantee you when this show is over, you're going to sit back and think, you know what? Wow. And then you're going to start to put pieces together where you're going to have, wow, this happened and this happened in my life. And how cool is this? And you're going to start to realize, and that's the beginning of your true awakening. And then I guarantee you, even your line to your mom and whoever else you're missing, it's going to become so much clearer. You're going to feel them, not only just think that you're hearing them in your head, you're going to feel them in your heart, mind, body, spirit, and soul. There is a difference. And your difference, Shambri, is probably going to start tonight. And trust me, welcome to the world of the Great Awakening. It is something wonderful. This is, you can't describe it. You have to experience it in order for you to really understand it, so to speak.
I've been experiencing it on a small scale and in bits and pieces for a while, but I think from this time forward, as you said, I'm going to experience it at a greater level, to a greater degree. I'm embarking on some new journeys or just following my dreams, following my bliss, something I've been trying to do for years, but just really ready to go for it and know that nothing can stop me now but me.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's
before,
it.
I was seeking approval from others, and now I realize I don't need approval from others. All I need is just to do it and go forward. I'm amazed. I'm at just being a part of this experience tonight. I am amazed.
Good.
Yes. And that's it. And you know, this is the beauty of what we do, and I'm sure Susan will agree, is that by simply talking, people will remember this and our conversation more than anything else. You know, I can hear a million shows where people are asking the same questions, the same generic answers, the same tired questions over and over again. That doesn't do anything for me. But tonight, people are getting to, even though you, Shambri, and by the way, Susan, Shambri makes great. She does. Are you still doing jewelry? I remember you did jewelry. Shambri? Uh-oh, did I lose everybody?
I think so. You didn't lose me.
I keep muting. I still do the jury. I haven't did a show in a while. I'm planning one. I'm booked for a show, I think, in October.
Okay.
And I'm thinking just today when I was going to, I plan to host something here. I haven't done a show in a while because for a while I went to work. And that didn't work out. So now I'm starting to do me again.
Well,
yeah,
there you go.
Are.
Yeah, you go. And
I've been on this journey, so God has brought me back to doing me, and so that's what I've been working on.
Right.
And
now you're the empowered healer. Now you're the empowered healer.
Yes, yes,
yes. Yes, of yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm actually working on writing a book, my own book. I've been working on this book for years, and it's partially done. I got more work to do on it, of course, but I started way back in the 90s at some point working on this book. It's a workshop I did in Houston, and I'm hoping to start doing it again here soon. And that's what my book is going to be about, my journey. I've been on this journey for quite a few years. You touched on some things earlier, Maria, when you talked about the depression you experienced, and my experience has been with bipolar.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, and it's been quite a journey, and I feel like I've come full circle, and now I'm ready to tell my story because I know it will bless so many others.
Yeah.
So I've been doing some research, and so that's what I'm working on, among other things.
Great. But again, that's what this is about, to help you. And Allison, like I said, all of her books are coming full circle right here, right now, tonight. You know, you're talking about being that empowered healer. And you're getting what you need out of the poetry and listening to, getting whatever you need from those words. And Susan.
Everybody does that because I have two first names, so it's fine because in college, you know, people would go calling people's names, you know, hey Johnson, hey so and so. So they would say hey Allison, and it was
first name.
Yeah, it was totally cool then, and I don't mind it now either.
Oh my goodness! But please share how people can again get all of your books, because they're all great, actually. And
you know, people can get them in their bookstores, or they can get them on Amazon. The Conscious Divorce is only available used right now, but Empowered Healer is there, and Our Spirits Dance, Poetry of Soulmates is there. And people can also contact me if they'd like. I have a toll-free number that is 866-268-2121. So that's
2121, okay.
866-268-2121 if they want to call me. I do phone sessions with people, and my email is drsusanallison@gmail.com. It's DR, no period. So DR, susanallison@gmail.com.
Okay.
My website is empoweredhealer.com if you want to read more about me and my books and work that I do.
Okay. I definitely will. Thank you for giving me your contact information.
You're very welcome.
Yes, I'll be sharing it with someone else too. I think that young lady who I'm working with named Kim, I believe that she could get some really good insight from speaking with you. It's always good to get more than one person.
Yes, it is.
Insight. And of course, for Shambri and all of the listeners, I will be inviting Susan back with my advisory panel. We're going to try once a month, we're going to have a panel of experts from those of us, from me, you know, a life coach and our therapist and our counselors. Mm-hmm. We're all going to come together and invite you to call, and we're going to be here for you. This is going to be the one-stop shop with everyone from all different areas of that expertise. We're going to come together so that you can ask a question, and we'll be here to give you our responses.
That's a great idea.
You know, different viewpoints because, you know, two things is I'm a life coach. I work from the here and now forward. Therapists, sometimes they work you from the then up to the now. And we all have our different areas of where we help you to move forward. And together, there's no stopping you from discovering the power within when you have so many great women. You know, and sometimes we may invite males because we do have a lot of male supporters who I appreciate so much. But,
great.
You know, right now this is
to empower the sisterhood and to get us ladies back on track where we need to be.
Yes.
So again, you know, I'm not going to keep everyone. If you have any questions or comments to all of our callers in the call query, press the number 1 on your phone now to join in our discussion if you like. You know, I realize that we do have a lot of people who just want to listen. They're not ready to let their voices be heard. I know when I first started this show, one of the things people said is somebody might be listening. They may recognize my voice. You know, it's okay because I see you there, so I know that you're listening, and that's the most important part because you're getting what you need. So it's no pressure, never any pressure, but thank you so much for joining us here this evening. And I was getting ready to call you Allison again. Susan?
yes.
Oh, my goodness. Again, if you'd like to share some closing pieces.
Well, you know, how much more time do we have?
43 minutes.
Because, you know, you mentioned before, just when we were chatting before the show started, about all the people with cancer and the people that are caregiving people with cancer and people who have lost people to cancer. And we were just chatting about that before the show, and I have some poems in the book about that, and I just wanted to just really embrace the people out there who are caregivers or who have been caregivers, that it's a very, very hard job. It is a job that you do totally, you know, out of compassion and kindness, and it's exhausting and difficult at times, and it's just such a gift to the people that you're helping, and I just want to say that because caregivers sometimes forget to care about themselves. And I think it's very important that, you, if you are a caregiver, that you remember that you have to fill yourself up before you can really give fully to others. And you have to take that time off and have respite care for yourself. And I was caring for my husband for the last 6 years, and he was not an invalid. He was fine until about the last year of his life. Things were really difficult, but just a lot of compassion I'm sending out to all of you who have lost a loved one to cancer. You have cancer yourself, or you're a caregiver of someone with cancer. And I'd like to read a poem if I could.
Oh, please.
It's called Feeding Tube. My husband had larynx cancer, and he lost his vocal cords. He had to have a stoma. He had a hole in his throat. He had to have a feeding tube a couple of times. It was very, very difficult. And this man had a beautiful voice, was a beautiful singer, was a beautiful speaker, pretty famous writer, and was also a professional surfer who could never surf again. So, you know, if you get 2 tablespoons of water in your lungs, pretty much you're dead. So he could never go back in the ocean. And so it was very, 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 very difficult, and he handled it all with tremendous grace. He was much more accepting and much more spiritual about the whole process than I was, as I was watching the suffering, which was very hard. So this poem is dedicated to all those people out there going through this or who have gone through it. It's called Feeding Tube. You've been feeding me for years, smoked oysters on crisp crackers, strawberries dipped in chocolate, and homemade hummus licked from your fingers. You fed me papaya in the islands and salsa in Mexico, and always and everywhere, kisses and whispered love notes, your words swallowed easily and filling me. And now I feed you softness and cooing as I stroke your forehead, brush your hair. I feed you cans of liquid protein and vitamins, stir in love and prayer and salty tears, then fill the plastic syringe and squeeze your dinner through a rubber tube hanging from your stomach. Hard to do at first, not a nurse, unsure and squeamish, but now I just feed you with all the courage I have, all the memories, all the sweetness of pure love, until we both are full.
Wow. That reminded me of when I was in the hospital with my grandmother in her last days, and I was looking at her hooked up in the feeding tube, and it was this,
yep.
this tan-colored whatever it was in the tube, and, you know, I helped the nurse turn her around and get her back, because she was like her muscles were moving uncontrollably, and she was half out of the bed, and we moved her, and the feeding tube was leaking, and they had to fix this, and I
yep.
was there, and I was just reading to her from the Bible, and she couldn't talk. Her talking days were long over, but
mm.
I just sat there and read to her and made sure that she was as comfortable as she could be,
yep.
and I thought I heard her talking back to me. You know, I could hear in my spirit, but,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I can identify with that. Let me ask you this, Susan.
Sure.
Before we go, I was speaking to my other sister in the spirit. I said that she had been, you know, several years or so with her mom, and her mom recently passed, and tonight she shared that, you know, they brought all of her mom's things from her house back to hers. And how do you get past dealing with the memories? And is there a way or process
yep.
that she could try to go through to help make it a little bit easier on her? Because I told her, you need some time, and her family is taking her out because she hasn't been eating
yep.
properly or sleeping,
yep.
and
yep.
she needs to, you know. So do you have any words that we can give to her?
Yeah, it's like I said earlier about grief, it just takes the time it takes, and right now it's a very raw
mm-hmm.
time for her. You know, there's a wound, you know, and it's open right now, and it's very, very painful. It's very difficult at first. I had to get out of my house. I needed to do something in nature really helped me. And I think
mm-hmm.
it helps a lot of people is to look, try to see the beauty in the world. I would, you know, and thank goodness I have a dog, and I've taken him for a walk, and he gets me out of the house, gets me out in the world, and
mm-hmm.
also my friends, like just like her family is helping, you know, my friends and family would come, and they, you know, we would go places, and I actually went to Panama recently, and I went, my son sent me over to the island of Maui in Hawaii, but I mean, just to go for a walk around the block really
mm-hmm.
helps. But I have found that I cannot constantly be in my house where all
mm-hmm.
the memories are. You know, it was very, very difficult, and so I think getting out helps. Having someone bring meals. I have in my therapy office. The rest of the therapists sent me these wonderful gourmet organic meals. I had a couple of weeks of meals because you really aren't interested in eating and you're not interested in cooking. And so that's one thing people can do is to take food over, take meals to the person, and also sometimes people can chip in and, you know, send professional meals like people did for me. I do feel like crying is important, and, you know, at times I would avoid it, but then I just felt worse, and I would get kind of brittle and get sort of sharp with people because I was stuffing down and holding in all these tears. So I do feel that if you feel like crying, you have to almost set aside time to do it. You know,
mm-hmm.
let's say that you go to work. You can't really just break down and be crying. It's like when I was a teacher, I'd left my marriage, and there I was teaching high school, and I would feel like crying in class. Well, I couldn't cry in class. So I would, you know, get home and watch a sad movie or play some music or do something that would get me or look at some photos, and I would start to cry. And usually music does it for me. And I'll hear some lyrics, some songs that we used to love, and I will cry. So I really feel like that helps because it takes off that layer, you know, that top
mm-hmm.
layer of feeling, and it just releases it. And so then you just feel better. You can take a deep breath. you know, you feel just a little bit more relieved after you cry, a good cry. So I don't recommend stuffing your tears or stuffing your grief, because the next time you lose something, you lose a job, you lose your house, you lose a friend, you're going to feel all that grief from the first loss with this new one. And so it's important to really, unfortunately, because it's not fun, but it's important to feel your pain and to grieve and to cry. And if you want someone there, to have someone hold you in their arms while you cry, sit in someone's lap, because you really do feel like you're much younger when you're going through grief, that you need comforting from people, and don't be afraid to ask for that. So that's what I would recommend.
Wow. And I'm sure that when she comes back, I'll tell her to make sure that she listens to this show, because it's really, the next 2 weeks are really dedicated to her, because
yeah.
I know what she had gone through, and I know that they're
yeah.
taking her out tonight. But, you know, it's always good to have other ideas in place to help her through this transitional time in her life.
That's
and,
right.
You know, it's really been, wow, we're coming down to the end of our program. But again, Shambri, if you have anything, any closing comments or questions, feel free now. Anyone else? It's Bettina. I see she's back. If you have any questions, comments, feel free to chime in now. And
I realize that I haven't allowed myself to just really have a good cry for my mother or for my brother. When those tears fall over my eyes, I suppress them.
Yep.
I think I've been afraid to just cry to my heart's content, for lack of a better expression, or
yep.
just cry until I get it all out. And I know it's going to have to come, but I think I'm ready. Previously, I wasn't ready to deal with it, but I think I'm at the place where if I'm really going to go forward, I'm going to have to deal
yeah.
with that. And so I think I'm ready. One of my sisters has been having a really hard time, and I've tried to help her but I realized there's something I can't do. She has to grieve in her own way, and she's really been grieving. And she said to me once, "Don't you ever feel like you just want to go be with mother?" And I'm like, "No." And I haven't had those thoughts, like I just want to leave this world and go be with her, because that goes against what I believe spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not my time.
No, it's not. It's not your time.
Yeah.
It was her time to go, and
my mother had lived a good life. She lived life on her own terms. She really, really did. She was her
mm-hmm.
own woman, and like I said, she left us an awesome legacy, and I miss her, but I never feel like my sister was, I think, suicidal at one point and feeling like she wanted to, you know, leave. And I told her, I said, "You have so much to live for, two beautiful daughters, you know, a husband and grandchildren and a son-in-law." So she's getting better. She's on the mend, and I'm thankful for that. I guess everyone is dealing with it in their own way. But I realized I was trying to be strong. You know, I felt like that's how I was honoring her, by being strong, going on with my life. And you know, it is by grieving, I'm not dishonoring her. I came to that understanding tonight. I'm
good.
Just letting it out.
Yeah, yeah, it's much healthier.
Releasing the hurt, releasing
That's
the hurt,
right.
the pain of her not being here. Like before, I always knew where she was. But just
yep.
the fact that she's not anywhere on this earth, and even though I know she's in a better place, it still hurts.
Of course,
you know?
It does.
Yeah,
of course
it
does.
So
you're a human woman, and
yes.
you loved her very much, and it's actually very normal and totally natural that you're grieving and that you feel like crying. And it's important for you to cry those tears. My husband used to say that our tears are the gates, and you walk through, the tears allow you to walk through the grief and create a new life, a new beginning. But you have to, the only way out is through. So you've got to go through the grief in order to get to acceptance and get to the other side.
I get that now. I really get that now.
Good.
And I think that, you know, for me, I look at it as it's an ascension or a transcension. They're going to another level. They're not here in the physical body anymore. But as long as their memories are with you, they're still a part of them is still here. A part of their energy is still here. We do have one more caller coming on. Caller 3412. I believe this is maybe Sister Tina. Hey.
You knew it was me. Good evening, ladies. Good evening. I'm not going to apologize for Facebook or whatever, but I had some technical difficulties, and that used to be my problem, apologizing for things that I didn't even have any control over. So I'm getting better. I switched that around real quick. I'm not taking any blame for anything that happened. I got shut down, but I'm back, and I'm glad I am. I'm not real sure what I missed, but I know what I did miss has been very, very good for me. Susan, thank you for being on C. Maria's show tonight. Thank you for giving us so many, many pointers on how to deal with so many different life situations.
You're welcome.
The young lady that was on before had talked about, she had mentioned, you know, how we want to be strong, and society tells us when we lose them, oh, just be strong, be strong. Where did that come from? Nobody has to be strong. You know, be strong for what? If you're feeling something, feel it. Because like I always say, you can. I got a garbage can in my kitchen. If I keep stuffing it and stuffing it and stuffing it and act like, you know, nothing's in there after a while, eventually, that top is going to pop. You know, the gases and all the germs and all that yucky stuff inside of there, it's going to pop that top. And it's not going to be a pretty picture. So,
it's kind of like pressure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Every week or every couple of days, I take the garbage out and I dump it, put it in the dumpster. Now, what anybody else does with my garbage, that's on them. If they want to take it home with them, eat it, whatever, play with it, they can do it. But then it's theirs. It's no longer my garbage anymore. And I'm free. My house, my garden is clean, and I can get ready to dump some more garbage in it because every day there is something new and different that comes up and comes out that I need to get rid of. So I don't need to be strong. I need to dump it, give it to the garbage man, let them do what they want to do with it. And I guess the scenario would be, you know, a therapist or a good friend, you know, a close family member. Give it to them. You know, so many people, well, they're going to tell my business. Well, once I give it to you, I don't care what you do with it.
Right.
You know, it's out of me. I don't care. You can tell anybody you want to tell if that makes you feel better about yourself. Susan, my first loss was at the age of 12. I was raised by my aunt and uncle. My aunt died, in my perception, suddenly, because if she had lived to be 100 years old, it would have still been suddenly for me. But I was a little girl, very little girl, who had been totally dependent on her. She was there for me, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And nobody talked to me about grief and loss. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm listening to arrangements being made. I'm hurting. I am in so much pain, you know, not understanding anything. Then they sit me in this funeral home in front of this casket with her body in it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think because at my age, when I was young, we were taught we're supposed to be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. So I would sit in a corner and I'm looking and I'm listening and I'm hearing and I'm feeling all these feelings and don't know what to do about it. How important to you, or how would you handle, you know, if you saw a child in that grief and going through those phases of grief and loss, and they just don't know what to do? Because it ended up taking me to the age of 36 to come to grips with it to a certain extent. Within those 36 years, I became a drug addict. I became a prostitute. I became so many negative things because all that garbage was in me, okay?
Yep.
It wasn't going anywhere. So talk about that, Susan, please.
Yeah. Well, I just first of all want to just speak to that child, and I'm so sorry that that happened for you. It's just so sad to me. And, you know, I just feel like people, someone asked earlier, just a few minutes ago, you know, where does this start? This, you know, stuffing it, being silent, being told, you know, to be quiet, you know, don't express your anger, don't express your sadness. And it's because it makes them uncomfortable. And they, you know, when I'm thinking of the adults, they don't know how to handle it. And it brings up all their stuff that they've not resolved, all their garbage. So I just, first of all, want to speak to the child that it was just not right that that happened to you. And that, you know, that the people that loved you or the people that were the adults should have taken you aside, talked to you, comforted you, let you cry. They should have held you. You know, they should have given you some understanding of what was happening. And I hear this over and over, that this happens in families, that everything is swept under the rug. There's no talking about it. It's the no talk, no feel family. And, you know, it just sets up everything that happened to you later in terms of you having all of that discomfort and pain and sadness within you. And you know, then you acted out in various ways, not knowing how to deal with it. And I just, you know, I'm speaking, I guess, to anyone who's listening who is a parent or who is a guardian, that, you know, children are so sensitive and innocent, and they need help and guidance and love and compassion and kindness.
But the adults themselves probably didn't know how to do that at
No,
that
they
time.
Didn't. They didn't know how, and also it makes them uncomfortable. If you can think of all the people in the world who are like that, they never dealt with their own grief. They probably never had, you know, it's like generational. Way back at generations, that families have been like this, and that parents were told by their parents to be quiet. And, you know, it's like, you know, C. Maria said that, you know, she was a silent child. You know, we're told in families to be quiet all the time. You're making too much noise. You know, just, you know, be quiet. Just stuff it. You know, don't express your anger. You know, it's not, you know, ladylike, or it's not polite, or it's not nice, so don't say that. So we're constantly squelched, and then it has to go somewhere, and guess where? It's just stuffed down inside us. It's really tragic. But I'm glad you're here now, and I'm glad that you know you're doing your show. You're helping so many people by being authentic and telling your own story.
I've just found, you know, I can't afford to hold anything in anymore.
Nope.
I can't afford to think that I'm so strong. And one of the entities that I really, really appreciate so much is my church. I'm still working on these issues because as you were talking, I mean, the tears started to come because I still miss her so much. I can still smell the food she used to cook for me. You know, I still see her image. You know, she meant so much to me.
Yes, she did.
And what I appreciate, which has helped me, and I'm a therapist, you know, And what has really helped me was our church has grief recovery classes.
Mm, great. Mm-hmm.
And it was in my position in my as a ministry member of a ministry, it was mandatory that we take these classes, you know, the grief recovery classes.
Good, good.
And I didn't want to, but I did. Because I wanted to wanted to continue to serve, so I did it, and so we had to write letters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to write letters to my aunt. I had to write a letter to the adults in my life who wouldn't allow me to express my feelings.
Right.
You know, so that freed me. That freed me some. But the stages of grief, even now, I tell my clients, you know, don't try to rush through them just because they might have a label and, you know, it says stage 1, 2, or 3. Those stages are not in order.
No, they're not.
And there are no time limits to how long it takes you to get through any of those stages.
That's right. That's right.
And you don't have
to be
strong. You sit here and if you want to cry and scream, do anything but physically harm me. You can do that. Okay.
Yeah, or themselves.
Or themselves. Right, right.
Yeah, you know, I think one reason you may have had tears just recently when I was talking to you is also because it's like the compassion that you could hear in my voice and feeling sad for the child within you, the 12-year-old. And I think that we don't always stop to really honor her and honor that beautiful, innocent, sweet child that you were, and you know that she didn't get what it was that she needed. And I think that when we hear that from someone, we have tears in our eyes also because we're connecting with that child and feeling for her and feeling her loss and the love that she needed at the time.
Right.
So, yep.
Susan, I have one question before you, before we sign off.
Yes.
Is it healthy to visit the grave site of a loved one?
I would say that, you know, again, it's up to you. And, you know, it's like someone sent me a quote recently about how we can visit the past, we can honor the past, we can even love things about our past, but we don't have to live in the past. And I feel that there's a fine line sometimes where, you know, it's like my house in some ways looks like a shrine to my husband. There's pictures everywhere of us, but that has helped me actually get through this year. And it's everyone's different. I've done a bunch of classes at hospice, you know, grief and loss classes, and there were women in the class that had already taken their wedding rings off. They took all the pictures out of their house, and it was the way that they needed to do it. They needed to absolutely try to not have it all around them because it was too hard. And I would say that visiting the grave, if it makes you feel better or honoring it in some way, I know people that go on anniversaries, on birthdays, they take flowers. If you feel like it's a way to honor and it actually is helping you, then I would say that's fine. If it's keeping you stuck, though, if it's making you really stuck in a place in your grief where you really would love to be able to kind of move on a little more and you feel like it is holding you back, then that's something only you know and you can kind of check in with your intuition.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
And I think that there's different types of death. You know, for me, you know, some people have heard me speak about it. My house now is like a tomb to me. Even though I had this house built long before I even met my ex-husband, you know, all of the heartache and pain is here. He's moved out and moved on, and I'm still here. And it doesn't matter how much I get rid of things that belong to him or whatever, it's the fact that it's tainted now. I can walk into the bedroom and remember, you know, this is where he hurt me. This is where I screamed and nobody paid attention. You know, this is, you know, I can walk into the house and remember when he threw keys at me and missed my eye, my left eye, by, you know, a fraction of an inch and things like that. We have to learn how to, so for me, what I'm doing, I'm converting this house over into what I call a healing house, and I have women support meeting groups here because
good.
The women that come here find peace here because
yep.
it's in a wonderful location. They can go out back, kick off their shoes, and just hear nature and look up at the stars and watch all the woodlands, creatures, and all that little vermin. But, you know, that in
good.
Itself, but they love that.
Fantastic.
They love that. So I find my solace in knowing that the house helps them.
Yes.
And then, you know, I'm here long enough. Usually I'm here doing work or I'm here for a little bit. Maybe I'll go to sleep, but I'm usually out and about or doing something else.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
what keeps my mind off of the demons and the ghosts
yep.
that are within. So there's
yep.
different stages and different types of death. You know, it's for so many people, they can't get over just the sheer death of a marriage, you know, when the marriage ends.
Yes.
I'm sure we've all, Tina and Susan and I, we've all worked with people who say, well, I've been married to him for 25 years, and then he ups and cheats, and then he leaves me. What am I going to do? And I tell him, you have to live.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to live. Because
yeah.
guess what? He didn't supply you the air that you're breathing. You know, you still have great health. Take up a hobby.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you can live and he's supporting you and you have the house, go out. Take up a hobby, get with some groups, some singles groups, do something, or people that just
yeah.
want to get together, go to museums, but
mm-hmm.
learn how to live. And that's the problem, I think, so many people don't understand, that life will go on. And like you said, visiting the grave, you're visiting the shell that was placed in the box in the ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're energy. We're something more than that shell. Right now,
that's,
we're
that's
in these
what
temporary
I believe, and that's
houses.
Why I haven't visited the grave. But I think
right.
on her anniversary, I think it would actually help me. It would help
mm-hmm.
me to grieve and to
yes.
let it and to let it go.
Yeah,
really
if,
yeah.
I know yes.
yes.
if
here.
You're saying goodbye. You know, if
yeah.
you're saying, you know what, I'm not leaving you. I'm just going, I still love you. I'm not leaving
mm-hmm.
you, but I'm going to live my life.
Yeah.
And if you're going there to end that chapter, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people go there and they sit there and eat. Sometimes I've been to some grave sites where they're arguing with the people, they're cursing out the tombstone. I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't think they can.
They're
you
not.
Know.
They're not there.
Yeah.
Hello.
They're not really there.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sorry,
I
but
know she's not there. She's
no,
not
she
there.
Isn't
that
there.
That wouldn't be my purpose for going.
Yeah,
right.
but your
yeah.
purpose is to help yourself move through
yeah.
your grief.
Right.
And
your purpose
is yeah.
positive.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the difference. Some people go there to these grave sites, and it's not positive. They
no,
go back to square one. When they leave, they're
yeah.
right back to square one. That's
they're
not
stuck.
Positive.
They're
if
stuck.
You're going to end that chapter so that you can live and be free, then that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's like
do
a
it.
Ritual. You know,
yeah.
going to the for you, it would be like a ritual. It would be a ceremony
mm-hmm.
where you go and
uh-huh.
You can even, some of the things you're going to write, you can even write
uh-huh.
something and read something. You could, you know, take something of theirs and you know, leave it there or whatever. I mean, there's certain rituals
uh-huh.
you can do that would
yes.
be then meaningful in terms of your process.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. I think I have enough to help me on my journey. With handling the handling my grief and to let it go. So I really want to thank you, ladies, for sharing the second lady that came on. I enjoyed hearing you share. That blessed me as well. I don't recall your name, but
Tina.
Your story,
Sister
your
Tina.
Testimony blessed me.
mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you all for being here. And, you know, this is the beauty of it. And, again, we spoke about so much tonight and about becoming your own empowered healer and stop living according to the guidelines and the expectations of others. And, you know, so many people worry. And you know, Sister Tina, back in the day, I told you, I said, you know what, when you decided to, she just started her new talk show as well. And, you know, I told her, be authentic, be you, and they're going to come. Your show is going to grow by leaps and bounds. And one thing that I've always told Sister Tina is just be ready when it happens, because the world is going to be looking at you, and they're going to want to know what you have to say. And this is the beginning of something great, and I'm sitting back watching, you know, her break out of the cocoon into new uncharted territories and grow. And sometimes it's by baby steps, others it's by leaps and bounds. But this is the wonderful, wonderful process of talking things out, becoming that. I love the name of your book, Those Empowered Healers. And this is what we do. We help you to find the strength within you. And I am so glad that we had this little forum and girl talk time yet again where we were able to have some breakthroughs in so many ways in such a short amount of time.
Good.
And, you know, before we go, as always, we have about 9 minutes. So, Susan, if you'd like to have any closing words for our listeners, I'll turn it over to you before I do my infamous, and you all know what's coming, my infamous closing. So.
Okay. It's been wonderful being on the show. I've loved the openness, the honesty, the genuine caring for one another, which is what it's all about. And I just want to say that I am excited because I have another book coming out in 2015 with a San Francisco publisher, and it's called You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven. And it's all about spirit travel and being able to learn how to meet your angels, your spirit helpers, to realize there is no death, to be able to even meet with loved ones who've passed on. And I'm teaching people how to do this in this book, and I'm pretty excited about it. You don't have to die to go to heaven. And it's not about having to wait to have a near-death experience like a lot of the books that are out now that are so popular. Even a recent movie that people almost die and then they come back and tell us about it. Well, I have a method that I've been trained over 20 years to do where you can travel to these realms and have all these spirit allies and all these beings that love you and know that you're not alone, and that not only do you have people who love you here on the planet, you have people in all these worlds, these spirit worlds. And there's lots of quotes, you know, there's at least 100 quotes from the Bible that will talk about, heavenly realms, or you know, worlds within worlds, or in my Father's house are many mansions, that there are lots and lots of levels to these worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to mention that to your listeners, that that book will be coming out, and I hope I can be on your show then.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And I love the title. And for those of you, again, we did post Susan's information before we go. She'll say it for you again. So get your pen and paper ready. And I just wanted everyone to know that we spoke about so many things about releasing tonight and moving forward. And Sister Tina, as I said earlier in the show, she initially, her group on Facebook is the Vision Board Group. And Sister Tina, if you could give out the names of even your group and your new talk show, that would be great, because this, of course, vision boarding is another part of healing. And I don't know if you've been keeping up with this, but in the last week alone, I have seen so many people speak about the vision board. Vision boarding. It's the latest craze coming. So, again, this is another way for you to put your hopes and dreams and ideas, whatever it is, out on that forum. So, Sister Tina, if you want to touch on that for a little bit before we go, you have the floor.
Absolutely. Thank you, Maria. In December of 2013, I had been inspired and motivated and given the vision to start my very own virtual vision board group. I was inspired by a young lady a couple of years before then. She had had a virtual online Facebook vision board party, and I had been doing vision boards before, but I honestly had not taken them really, really seriously. One is, I think, behind my refrigerator in the dust. But this particular year, I took it serious. I started to actually feel, envision things that were either happening in my life, were going to happen, what I wanted to happen. And so I started putting these things on my vision board. And in 2013 of December, I was given the vision to actually start a conference call. It was then only supposed to have been one show, but it is turned into a monthly show and almost a weekly show right now. Next month, this month, I have three shows going. And it's based on visions of women's issues. I am a superwoman. Virtual Vision Board Group, that's the name of the group. And our attendance monthly has bloomed. The group has grown to over 500 members. Like I said, the shows are started out monthly. They're going to two and three times a month now. Vision boards, just simple things that you either want for yourself, want for others, or you just feel. And you put these articles, you put pictures, you put memos, you can do them with sticky notes, whatever floats your boat. But the Bible even tells us, write the vision and make it plain. What do you want your life to be like? How do you want God to manifest things in your life? My current vision board has two sides. One is my God side, giving him all the honor and the glory, asking him what direction he wants me to go in, because he said, if you serve me, I'll serve you. So I serve him on one side, and then the other side are the material things, because he said he will give me the desires of my heart, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. After I seek him, while I'm seeking him, he's already working on my behalf to give me not only just what I need, and that would be good enough, but he gives me a lot of the things that I want. And faith without works is dead. I have to do some things, you know, but they're not half as hard as if I just tried to go on my own will, not giving him the glory and the credit for what he has done and is doing in my life on a daily basis. So vision boards are very, very important and very instrumental in my life, and they can be in the lives of every single listener on this call. It's simple. Mm-hmm. You don't have to follow any stringent format. Like I said, you can write it in chalk. You can use sticky notes, magic markers, laundry markers, articles out of magazines, any way that you want to express yourself through your vision board. But then follow it. Look at your board. I mean, you need to know, you need to believe that what you put on this board is actually going to happen. It's that law of attraction type thing.
Right.
And I'm seeing constantly, like Maria said, my talk show has now grown, my conference call has now grown into a blog talk radio show. I've been taken into, and I'm looking, and I always see this word empowered, because that's what I'm asking God to do, is empower me. Now I'm a regional director for a political campaign. So many things are happening because I believe. I know, I believe, I receive, and I ask. Ask and it shall be given. And that's part of what the vision board is. You're putting in writing, you're asking. And then the next important thing is to give them thanks on a daily basis.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, you touched on so much tonight, ladies, just the fact that you became, as you said, empowered. And once we get to that point, the world, the universe is ready. The universe is just waiting for us to open up and recognize the power within. So to all of our listeners, thank you so much for being here tonight. My very special guest has been Dr. Susan Allison. We have spoken about so much tonight. Before we go, Susan, could you give out your contact information again?
Yes.
And, of course, let everyone know about where they can find all of the books.
Yes, well, you can find them on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And it's sometimes in your local bookstores, depending on the bookstore. But my recent book is Our Spirits Dance, Poetry of Soulmates, and it has a lot of themes in it, as we read tonight,
mm-hmm.
that you can relate to in your own life. And also my book before that was Empowered Healer, Gain the Confidence, Power, and Ability to Heal Yourself. And the book before that with Random House was Conscious Divorce, Ending a Marriage with Integrity. And so you can get all those books if they're speaking to you in terms of what's going on in your life now. So, again, you can email me if you'd like, drsusanallison@gmail.com. My website is empoweredhealer.com. And it's been a pleasure being on your show, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Sister Chamber and Sister Tina, of course. This has been a wonderful discussion, and as always, before I go, next week my guest will be the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Souls, the Cancer book. David Tabatsky will be here talking about his new book, Right to Life, Communicating Your Way Through Cancer. So again, we'll be back here again at 9 p.m. next week. But until then, as always, I pray each and every one of you enough. I pray you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days. I also pray you enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. And I pray you enough smiles to turn that frown you've been carrying around upside down. But most of all, I pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. So until next time, as I said, my very special guest this evening has been Dr. Susan Allison, and of course my panelists, Chambry and Sister Tina. Thank you so much, and welcome, Chambry. Welcome,
you,
welcome.
Maria.
I hope you come back again.
I
hope
I
you enjoy
certainly
this
will.
When you come
I
back.
Certainly will. You can count on it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And
you're
before
welcome.
I go, as always, Sister Tina, you know what I'm about to say. I always like to remind each and every one of you to continue to pay it and
pray it
forward.
Forward.
Until next time, I will see you all here tomorrow morning for our Sunday morning inspiration. I am continuing our Greatness in You series. Tomorrow is when the saints give up and go marching home. So join me then. And for all of our shows, if you don't hear them live, you can always come back and hear the replay at any given time. So until next time, as always, I am your most humble, gracious, and appreciative host, C. Maria Wall. Of course, if you'd like to reach me, 202-618-2556. If you have any questions for any of our panelists or our guests, and you missed it, just give me a call, 202-618-2556, or shoot me an email at contact@thewallfoundationinc.org. So again, until next time, be well, be blessed. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My new sister in the spirit, Susan Allison, yes, we will keep in touch. And
absolutely.
I will definitely have you back when the new book comes out, and of course to join our panels. And by the way, Sister Tina will probably be a part of that. Allison, here I go calling her Allison again. Susan will be a part of that. And several others,
you know,
will be on our panel. So we can have a good discussion.
Maria, just for you, you can call me Allison anytime you want.
Thank you, because it's I don't know what it is tonight. All of a sudden, you've been Susan all these years, and now tonight you're Allison.
That's
so.
Totally fine. It's totally fine. I love the name anyway, so it's fine. And thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So good night, ladies. Thank you so much again.
Good
We're going
night.
To end, of course, with our song, one of our favorite songs. And I guess, Susan, you haven't heard this, but a few months ago we did something called a Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement. It was a weekend-long event where Sister Tina and myself and Sister Marcella, who I was speaking about earlier tonight,
mm-hmm.
we hosted this weekend-long program where we had women who shared stories, faith-based stories of healing and purpose and power and all of these things. And it was so wonderful. And a young lady, Sister Lorraine Collins, she actually created our theme song. So tonight, I think, ending, we're going to play the theme song. It's not an a cappella because I said our listeners can actually put their own music to it. But the name of our theme song was The Way That God Loves Me. And, you know, I'll be talking to you because we're doing another one in the fall, and we'd love to have you come back and be one of our speakers. It's a virtual event because we're heard all over the world.
Great.
So, again, everyone, we're going to end with our theme song from the Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement, The Way That God Loves Me. But my special guest tonight has been Dr. Susan Allison. Make sure that you contact her, pick up her books. I'm telling you now, you're going to be blessed in a mighty, mighty way. So until then, be well, be blessed. Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful remainder of your weekend and beyond. Whoops, guess what? I have more than one version of it on here. I'll be doing. Let's go up here and try this one. Okay, this is The Way That God Loves Me, the Marathon of Hope Kingdom Movement, the original anthem. Good night, everyone. Thank you. Gotta love live radio, but thank goodness I'm quick to recover. So until next time, be well, be blessed.
Why do I keep doing this to myself, giving my heart to someone else who can't seem to comprehend and just pretend to love me the way that God loves me? Oh, the way that God loves me. Why do I keep doing this to myself, giving my heart to someone else who can't seem to comprehend and just pretend to love me the way that God loves me?
God loves me
the way that God
loves
me.
But I bathed in the mall, submerged myself in the decay of the world, making bad decisions over and over again, drenching my pillow with tears again, thinking the void could be filled by a man who blackened my eyes, demolished my pride, as he daily belittled my self-esteem. With each raise of his hand, I had to muffle a scream. But I don't have to stay here, trapped in my pain here. My Redeemer conquered death, hell, and the grave. Yahweh lives, so my soul can be saved.
The way that God loves me, yeah. The way that God loves me, the way that God loves me. Why do I keep doing this to myself, giving my heart to someone else who can't seem to comprehend and just pretend to love me the way that God loves me?
Rise from the dark clouds that were weighing me down. Shake off the chains that were keeping me bound. I can use my broken pieces to encourage someone else. Speak life to a situation. Release my brother, my sister from a state of depression. Cause you don't have to stay here, trapped in your pain here. Jehovah lives. You too can be saved.
Why do I keep doing this to myself? Giving my heart to someone else who can't seem to comprehend and just pretend,
just pretend to love me the way that God loves me. The way that God loves me.